right group of people. I want to start first by saying to Pastor Yates and to this congregation, I'm really honored to be here, and anytime I'm asked to do anything for the Lord, it's all God. It's all God, and I thank him for that. And to you who are getting ready to become leaders, those who are in leadership, Howard Hendricks said to his freshman class at Dallas Seminary a while back, so you all want to be leaders. If you knew what it was all about, you'd all be on your knees asking God to help you right now. It's not a cakewalk. It is something that you must take very serious. You must have a committed mind. You must not think in terms of, I got to do everything right. I wish I did everything right. But I want to read this scripture before I go any further. And it is very, very important because it really helped me to understand what God is looking for, what he really, really wants. And it's from the Old Testament of 1 Samuel, chapter 13, when the prophet had asked Saul to wait 7 days, and he said, in 7 days I'll come and I'll tell you what to do. And Saul was a little feisty about this thing because he saw the Philistines really getting ready to attack. So he sent for the ephod so he can make sacrifices to God. And the thing just pleased the prophet Samuel when he got there. Listen at his words to the king. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. And I just could not let go of the words, the Lord sought out for himself a man, listen at this, after his own heart. You know what the prophet tells him? God wants a man with a heart like his. Sought out for a man is really sort of like a little weak translation. God longs for a man. He's passionate about a man with a heart like his. I want him to love what I love. I want him to want what I want. I want him to feel what I feel. I'm passionate. I want that man with a heart like mine. How else could you serve God's people without a heart like that? How else you'll be able to please God without a heart like that? I want to tell you, even when God had rejected Saul, he tells Samuel to go to Jesse's house and anoint the next king, and listen to what God tell him. And I'm going to paraphrase it a bit, okay? Don't pay any attention to the outside, because that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking at your credentials. I'm not looking at where you went to school or where you work. For the Lord does not see like a man sees. Man looks at the physical. And this is sometimes what we play up to. We act pious and we want to sound right and we want to look right. But the Bible says God does not see like a man sees. Man looks outward. That is the physical side. God looks at the heart. Isn't that amazing? God is interested in your heart today. Where is your heart? Do you have a heart after God? Do you have a heart that want to please God? This is the driving force of leadership. It's not my position, it's my heart. It's my longing for God, my longing to please him, my longing to do what's right before him. That's what I really, really want. I want to please God. Man, what a task. Now, nobody told me that 40 years ago. Nobody mentioned to me about a heart like God. I was basically introduced to ministry through the ritualistic part of it. As long as you do the ritual right, as long as you understand how we do things here, as long as you got that right, you can make it. Hey, nobody tell me I had to have a heart like God. They told me I had to follow the tradition. You got to keep up with what's going on. And I thought I was doing great. Everybody around me liked me because I was doing what they wanted me to do. And then we had a situation one time, and I didn't know what to do, because only God could give you that wisdom and that understanding, and I didn't have that because nobody told me I needed that. And I wish I would have started out early on in a position that you're in. You're in a great position, but I want you to understand, there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was none of this social media stuff. There's nothing, but now you are faced with a whole new challenge of how we're going to get people to turn toward God when so much as the world is pulling them away from God. How do we get the youth, and how do we get people to really fall in love with God? It's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a serious challenge. Here's what Jesus said. He said, if anyone desire, he didn't say you better follow me. Listen at him. If you desire, do you desire to be a good leader? Is that your desire? Do you desire to come after me? He set the criteria for all of us. The first thing he said is you got to deny yourself. Deny. Cross out the I. You know what the Latin word for ego is? I. To hold on to your own self-interest is really contradicting the first thing Jesus said do if we're going to be one of his followers. You've already begun to fail when you start out with I or me or my. All that spells failure with a capital F. You're not going to make it. This is what Jesus is saying. He said, now, if you lose your life, he isn't talking about suicide here. What he's saying, if you lose your life, you're going to gain it. How do I lose my life? Every waking day of our lives, we have to walk around dying daily, keeping that old self from rising up, keeping my position from getting to my head, and let my heart go after God, and let my feelings and emotions be crucified on the cross of Christ. Now this is a serious work involved. Here's what we're doing. We are helping set people in their destiny for life. We're helping people to walk with God. So if we expect for them to walk with God, we have to have a walk with God. And it's no more I. It's right in the scripture what the Apostle Paul, he says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me. And I do pray you got that revelation today to reveal. See, Paul said he did it by revelation. When it pleased God to reveal, he already had the education. He already had the name. He's out of the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He already was the right pedigree. He just had to understand what this ministry was all about. He thought he was doing the right thing for God when he was dragging out Christians and putting them in prison. He just really thought he was pleasing God until he got what? A revelation. I'm asking God today to give you a revelation of leadership and not so much the paperwork of leadership. It's a revelation. You get the revelation by revelation. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me that I might preach. He preached by revelation. He did it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, can you read here when he wrote to Philippians? He said everything was gained to me. I counted loss. I had the name. I had the reputation. I had the connection. I dealt with the top officials, but that didn't qualify him. What qualified him was the revelation God gave him. Are you listening to me? So this is a whole different thing from being in leadership on the job. Some of the principles may be the same. Leadership in the community, that's all well and good. My best friend since 1979 is now the mayor in Edenville, Eddie Cole. Good friend of mine. I have to catch myself sometime when we talk, Mr. Mayor, instead of Ed. And he's so serious. He's got such a heart for God. He said, I want you to do me a favor. I said, what's that? Every Wednesday, I want to get you and one of the community leaders and an attorney. And we sit down and we hear his heart. What he wants to do. Every Wednesday morning. We recently did it to every Wednesday morning. Now that he's so busy with so many other things, we decided we'd do it every other Wednesday. We hear his heart. My specific job there is to pray for my governmental leader. That's all. I'm not there to put my two cents in the pot. I'm not there to say, well, I wouldn't do that if I was you. My job is there to pray for him. That's it. Because every man who rules and lead, he rules and lead for God. And see, this is our government don't understand today. It's not about the sophistication of men. It's not about all the past things you've accomplished. That's not what it qualifies. And I never forget the day I sit down with a group of men and I say, well, we need to get some more deacons. And I sit down with these men and I say, well, we need about five more men. And I was shocked. You know, I was shocked. I start hearing, well, you know, brother so-and-so is a good man. Yeah, so-and-so been here about 15 years. And I'm looking, I'm saying, that's not a criteria. God didn't say you had to be a good man. God didn't say you had to be around so many years. And it dawned on me that I had men working with me who didn't know the scripture. It's almost like a judge sitting on the bench and don't know law. If we're going to lead God's people, if we're going to be a part of what God wants me to be a part of, you have to know his word. You must know the word. If we're going to make decisions about people's lives, if we're going to talk about how we're going to do things with members who step out of line, you can't go in there talking about, well, they're good people. They didn't mean no harm. That's not scriptural. What did God say? This is what we have to do. So I realized I made a big mistake. And so now I'm constantly, third Sunday night, I have a group of men in there. You know what we're dealing with? Do you know what it means to be an elder? Do you know that now I've been consecrated to bishop almost 10 years now? Is this an Episcopal church? Oh, no, Pastor. This we non-denomination. I say Episcopal is not denomination. That's the government. Yeah. Episcopos, Episcopal, that means ruled by bishops. Yes. And we talking about the you got the Episcopal church and you got the African American. Episcopal is the government, not the denominational aspects of it. Are you with me? That's why you have some churches now, they call where the bishop is the cathedral. There's a reason behind that. So there's a lot we have to learn as leaders, but namely, let's start off with ourselves. Am I in a position to learn this? Am I in a position to take instructions and corrections? Am I in a position to do what God wants me to do? Forget your past. Forget your resume. All a resume says is what you used to do. Your resume says nothing about how you're going to do in this job. I did this at the last company. Well, what about this company? You're going to be successful in this company? It's what I used to do. And that's why God wasn't interested in Paul's credentials. I'm going to tell you why God isn't interested in your credentials. God isn't interested in what you could do. God is interested in what he can do through you. That's what God's interested in. That's what I'm interested in. I don't have to have all of that. I'm interested in what I could do through you. And that's what he wants to know. What is he longing for? Your heart. I don't want to get that all throughout my talk today. I'm going to drive that point home. Is your heart right? You ready for this? Would you go after God with all your heart? There was a certain king in the Bible say he went after God. He loved God, but not with a perfect heart. Not with a perfect heart. And he had some problems. Not with a perfect heart. What did God tell Israel in their sin? You will find me if you seek me with all your heart. Don't bring part of you. Bring all of you. I want all of you before me, crying after me, calling after me. Boy, what a challenge from God. I want to show you something here in the book of Hebrews now. And in the book of Hebrews, there are six warnings. Six warnings in the book of Hebrews. You with me? Are you ready to go to work for God? You ready to lead? You ready to follow those who are over you in the Lord? There is a scripture here. I want to make these points here. And there is, in the book of Hebrews, six warnings. Six. How many did I say? Six warnings. Let me end up. And it all has to do with leadership, basically. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the theme there is listen. Listen. That's an important word. Listen. Watch this. Eve listened to the devil. Satan. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want you to repeat it, but it's okay. Adam listened to Eve. My God. Now guess what happened? Whole thing is broken down. The system breaks down from there. Now the enemy is in it. Who told Cain to kill Abel? Adam didn't tell him. His mom Eve didn't tell him. Well, who told him? Why did he do it? He listened to somebody. When Adam told God that he was naked, God say, who told you you were naked? That's very important. Listen, that's a very important word. Obey. To hear under. In order for you to hear a leader's instructions, you must be under his authority. We hear that word, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The scripture there in Romans, faith comes how? By, well, it sounds like all I need to do is hear it and I get faith. On the surface, that's what it looks like. I've been around people for years and years and years. I've been in one place 40 years. Longer than that, I've been pastoring 40 years, but I was raised in that church. I know the families. I know some of the kids there. They don't even know their grandparents. They were dead before they was born, but I know them. I know that. I know them. If faith comes by hearing, what about those been sitting in there for 40 years? They should be full of faith. But see, I want you to understand the underlying principle here is faith comes by hearing, akouo, under, with the intent to obey. You have to want to obey it. You have to hear it and be willing before God with a heart for God to obey it. Faith comes by hearing, the intent is to obey. So when it says Adam listened to Eve, which means he obeyed her voice because he didn't listen with the intent to obey God. He listened with the intent to obey his wife. Wow. And it broke down. So when the punishment came, God said, because you listened to the voice. Oh, look at there. You didn't listen to me. You listened to another voice. So in Hebrews, he says, in Hebrews chapter 2, are you with me? I want you to listen at this. And I pray to God that you be some of the best leaders in the church in these next years, that you would help turn this thing around, turn it way around, that you go after God with all your heart. And that you understand that God longs for that person. He's passionate about a person after his own heart. But the amazing part about it is he told Samuel the prophet to go anoint Jesse. I mean, go anoint Jesse's son, David. David? A man after God's own heart? David? That's a whole nother message. David did some things that Saul didn't do. But God says, a man after my heart. I said, wow, that's something I want you to think about just a moment. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3. Listen, we say, the first warning is, for this reason, he's speaking of what happened in chapter 1. We must pay close attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. Now, I'm quite sure in the position that you're in, you've been told some things, you've been taught some things. Some of you probably have been in a class about leading God's people, about being a leader in the church, or holding official capacity. Pay attention to what you have heard so that we do not drift away from it. And that's possible to do. For if the word spoken through angels prove unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just penalty, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, that's a good question. How can you escape drowning if you never learn to swim? How can you escape it? See, the scripture is very clear here that I must not neglect myself, because when you neglect yourself, you deteriorate from what you are. If you quit grooming yourself and personal hygiene, if you quit bathing or showering yourself, it won't be long before you be something else. You listen to me. If you're going to start with God, stay with God. Don't drift away from God. Don't do it, because you'll turn to something else. It's not going to be long. How should we escape? You can escape. How do you escape having a beautiful lawn if you never took care of it? The weeds will take over. It's going to default. We are what we are because we take care of ourselves. Places are maintained because somebody's doing something around here, else it'll go to default. What the Bible is telling us here, if you quit going after God, if you don't have a passion for God, if you don't look to God and ask God to help you, you will turn into something else. You can't escape it. Didn't it say that? So you got to listen. Keep your ears and your eyes and basically your heart open to God. It's got to stay open to God. Open to God. If anybody's going to influence us and we find out, it's got to be God. He says in verse 3, how should we escape? If we neglect so great a salvation, after it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. Wow. So the first warning God is saying is you have to pay attention to what you hear. You have to pay attention of it. Go to every class, go to every training, go to every prayer meeting. And this is not something you do on the surface. You have to be there. You have to be there. People have to see your passion. People have to see what you like, and you have to be, you're out front. I tell the leaders at our church, when you've decided to become a leader in the church, it's a target on your back. You're on the front line now. You're the one that the enemy want down and out. So you got to keep what now? Listening. You got to what now? Listen. In chapter 3, verse 12 verse 12 and 13, 12 through 14, it says, you have to encourage one another. You have chapter 3, look at verse 12. Take care, brethren, that there be not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Take care, brother. Watch out for each other. Make sure they don't drift away. Make sure you don't hear the words, well, the Lord told me to spend a little time by myself. You have to listen at the signs of I'm drifting. I need a break right now. I'm glad Jesus didn't make those kind of comments. I'm glad Jesus didn't say, you know, I did nothing wrong. I didn't have to do this. He wasn't doing it for himself. And guess what? You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the sake of the kingdom. So you have to stay encouraged. You must stay encouraged, and you must not let others disappear from your midst. Take care, brethren. You have to watch it. That there be not in any of you an evil heart or unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Verse 13 says, but encourage one another day after day. Not week after week or meeting after meeting. Day by day by day by day. Get a partner. I have many friends I talk to every single day. I talk to at least three pastors every day. Very few of those men call me to encourage me. You know why? They think I got it all together. They think, well, you can call Kimball. I just need some prayer. And I'm sitting on the end of the phone. You need prayer. I need two prayers. Don't ever present yourself as a leader that don't need to receive. Don't do that. Don't fool yourself. Don't trick yourself. That's how people get weak. We need to do it how? Day by day. So my wife's specific job is to encourage me. I may not get it from the ministers and the pastors and my friend. But when she walked by my office then, she says, hey, honey. Oh, man, that's another day I can go with. Woo! Take your time. Just take a break every so often. I said, okay. Encouraged. The Bible says David encouraged himself. Oh, that's true. That's all well and good. But I tell you what. It's nothing like hearing it from another brother or sister. I thought about you today, and I just want to encourage you. I just want to tell you, God is with you. God is with you. Let's stay true to the course. Keep your heart running after God. Do you hear me? That's the second warning. You have to encourage. You have to encourage. And the third warning is in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. And it says, press on to maturity. Press on to what now? Don't lag behind. Don't stay in the third grade. Go on to maturity. Stay with God. Be a great help to the leadership of the church. Be a good help to your pastor. Mature. Grow up. And as Paul said, I couldn't talk to you as spiritual, but as babes in Christ. You as babies. Now, there's nothing wrong with a three-year-old being a three-year-old. If you're just 3 years old. But when you're 23 and you're acting like a three-year-old, there's something wrong with that. Are you with me? If you're 3 years into this thing, that's fine. I remember years ago when Doug Williams was a quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think McKay was the coach then. They asked McKay, how would you rate Doug Williams? They didn't have many black quarterbacks back then, and the focus was on Doug. You know what he said? He's a typical first-year quarterback. If you just getting started in this thing quite naturally, hey, he's a typical first-year minister. He's just starting out in the church. 40 years ago, I wasn't like this. I wasn't this bold and courageous. I used to go home on Sundays and cry because I thought I messed up. It got so bad that I wanted to leave. I wanted to leave. I wanted to get out. I wanted to go away. Nobody knew me. I did. Because I didn't have that assurance. But when I was a child, like Paul said, I thought like a child, understood like a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. I do pray to God that we have men and women in here today. That's what I pray. I pray that there are what now? Men and women. That's what I'm praying. We have. So you have to press on to maturity. Grow up in God. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the things of God. Grow. Let me get to the why you should grow later on. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
You mind if I took a drink of water and just slow down just a minute?
Time,
thank you, Pastor. That's encouraging. Nobody said hurry up, so I guess I'm doing all right. Dr. James, forgive me for not recognizing. I am so sorry. I don't do that. I just thank God for you being here, and we give honor to you and your position. Amen. 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 Thank you. I don't know how I overlooked that, but I did. I guess I need to grow up a little more. Thank God bless you. God bless you, man. All right, so go on to maturity. There's another warning in chapter 10. Do not go against the truth. Truth is truth. Truth is what? You can't do nothing against the truth. You know, there's a lot of weakness in the church today. When I say the church at large. It's a lot of weakness there because what? They are trying to compromise the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. Truth is not a concept. Listen to me. Truth is a person. Truth is a person. I am the truth. You want to know truth? You got to get me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. I like that. So you do not go against the truth. That's Hebrews 10, verse 26. Are you with me? Verse 26, this is what it reads. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. If you go against the cross, if you go against the blood of Jesus, there ain't nothing else left. What else can save you? You can't go against truth now because you cancel out everything God gives to help you. Solomon did not understand what God was doing in his day. He gave him the prophet, the priest. He killed the priest, the only mouthpiece he had from God. And there was nobody there to speak to God for Solomon. So what did he do? You know what he did. He went to a witch. Don't cut out God's line to you. And that's truth. If it comes from God, it's true. It's truth. And if you read it in the book, don't go against it. Warn to those, the prophets say, who call good evil and evil good. If God said it's evil, guess what?
It's evil.
Say it with me again. It's what?
Evil.
If God said it's right, it's what?
Right.
It's right. Now, following God going to get you in trouble. I'm going to want to say this right now. Following God, you know why? Because the system and this culture isn't set up to follow God. If you keep doing what God said, that's how they got in trouble. I say, take the prophets as an example of suffering. All they was trying to do is do what God told them to do. John the Baptist got his head cut off. What was he doing? Sticking with truth? That's all. That's all he was doing with truth. Don't go against truth. That's a warning. I like that. The fifth warning. It's chapter 12. Don't refuse him who speaks from heaven. Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 25 through 27. Listen at this. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him and warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warned from heaven? If God is speaking, listen and don't refuse. It's a warning. It's a serious warning. Now, what does that got to do with leadership? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you what that's got to do with leadership. If you turn to chapter 13 now, he starts saying something about leaders. Are you with me? He talks about leadership. And I think it's good. In 13:7, he say, remember those who led you. Watch this. Remember those. Most of you, if not all of you, are going to be serving under someone. How do you treat them? Wow. How do you treat them? You got the warning, see? Then in verse 17, he says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Oh, my God. And then he ends by saying in verse 24, greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. What does he say now? Remember them, obey them, and greet them. They're speaking the word of God to you. What are you saying? Remember your leaders. Mark, when God tells Israel to remember something, to tell us to remember something, mark this in your memory. Don't forget this. To remember means to mark the mind. Some things you should never forget. You should never forget. You should never forget where your heart belongs. You should never forget truth. You should never forget who's over you. You should never forget the purpose God called you to ministry. Don't forget that. He didn't call you to ministry for you. He called you to the ministry for him. Because when he tells Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. What that means? That means God saw Jeremiah every day of his life before he got on the earth. He saw every mistake he was going to make. He saw every decision he was going to make. God saw it all. And he still said, I ordain you to be a prophet. Don't you know God knew what we were going to do before we even was born? Don't you know God knew we was going to blow it? We was going to end up on drugs another place. And he still saved you. He still brought you into the church. Why? Because he knew what he could do through you was far greater than anything. He had just that much confidence in you. I know you're going to blow it. But I still want you. Yeah? I still want you. Before I form you. So now then, how do we qualify if we hadn't been born yet? You know what you say about Esau and Jacob before they did anything good or evil? So it's not your merits God chose you on. It's not your goodness and your 40 days of fasting. Wasn't based on that. Before you were born, God had already marked you out to serve him. Now he's brought you to this moment. He's given you some instructions. Don't neglect them. That's what he's saying. I want to talk about leaders in just a minute, then I'll be finished. He says, remember those. Hold them in your memory. When you remember something, you talk about it. You remind people, you know. In a conversation, you say, oh, yeah, I remember. We had our class reunion a couple of weeks ago. And a friend of mine was from Detroit. He had worked for Cadillac for 40 years. And he worked for Ford for two. I said, wow, man. I was talking to Larry. And I said, you know, I'm planning on buying me a Cadillac. And he said, Kimmel, I remember you always like nice things. You remember that? Which means he marked it in his mind since high school. You still remember that? Yeah, I still remember that. He says, as a matter of fact, I could get you our family something discount. I said, well, if you do that, I'll never forget you. Do something so I can mark my memory. Now, I want to ask you something. Have God done anything for you worth remembering? Well, don't ever forget it. Now, watch what he says. You ought to reflect on those things sometimes. Your thoughts should always include your leaders. Thanking God for their teaching, for their preaching. Thanking God for their sacrifice. Thanking God for it. So now he says in verse 17, and this is very, very profound here, obey your leaders and submit to them. Now this is a very powerful scripture because that's not the regular word for obey, akouo. This is pytho. It means be persuaded by. In the English it's translated obey, but pytho be. If anybody going to persuade you, let it be the man or the woman that's speaking from God. Be persuaded by your leaders and submit to them. It's another word. It's not the same submit that God said a wife should do to the husband. Listen to me now. It's not. This submit is only used one time in all of the New Testament. To submit, when God tells a wife to submit, he tells a wife to voluntarily arrange yourself under the authority of your husband. That's not what he's telling you to do. What is God telling you to do for your leaders? If any of you have leaders, this is what God is saying. Not to arrange under, but to yield under. One time in all of the New Testament, God says yield, and that's to your leader. See, we can't roll over this. You see why God has warned us about this. And he's given somebody to speak to you. And see, you are coming into these positions. And if people don't know any better, they're going to misuse you, not on purpose, but because they don't know. Now, if I'm going to yield to anybody, say, yield. You know when you yield, it means give way to. You don't argue with the man of God. Let God handle that. Obey your leaders, be persuaded by your leaders, and yield to them. Oh, if I'd have known this 40 years ago when we had those church meetings. If I'd have known this, I thought you're supposed to come in there like everybody else and tell people what's on your mind. I think we ought to buy 2 gallons. I'm not talking about my house here. The pastor say, well, we want to do this. And no. Waste of money. Is that yielding? No. I'm going to read God's word to you. Don't neglect the truth. Don't go against the truth. Oh, obey your leaders. Listen, and submit to them. Why? They keep watch over your souls. Watch is only used in relation to prayer in the New Testament. It's only used in relation to prayer. It means to chase sleep. They watch. They chase sleep for your souls. Remember when Jesus told his disciples, watch with me for what? 1 hour. It's relation to prayer. In relation to prayer. They watch over your souls. Are you listening to me? Be persuaded by them. Yield to them. I have given them a position over your soul. And they watch for it. They watch. They chase sleep for it. But tell you what God is saying. Those of you who are pastors and those of you who have leadership positions over people, you have to learn how to chase sleep. This isn't a comfortable walk. Do you know the nights? You ask any pastor who's pastoring, he can understand this. Oh, I get sleep now. Whew, Jesus, I do. Because I have help now. I have what? That's what you all are for. That's what you for. That's what you're for. I'm going to say it again. That's what now? I'm going to get to the good part here. They watch for your souls as those who are given account. Not an account for you, but the Bible says every man got to give an account of his own self to God. They got to give an account. What are they giving account for? When God moves on you to do something and you don't do it, you got to give an account to God why you didn't do what God wants you to do. His people are at stake. His church are at stake. His mission is at stake. And you rolling over going back to sleep. Now you got to answer for that. You don't have to answer for me. I answer for myself. If you're going to be in a position of authority, to whom much is given, much is required. I had to wonder why. Every morning, 4 o'clock, 3:34, I wake up every morning. And I drank ZQL and everything trying to go back to sleep. You ever had ZQL? I'm trying to force myself away from God. Are you listening to me? Why do I wake up like this? And I told my wife, I said, I don't know why I wake up. Between 3-4 o'clock, I wake up. Never dawned on me. God wanted to say something. He told Moses to meet me early in the morning. I said, man, I'm just trying to go to sleep. So what I did, I'm going to tell you what I did. I got up, I went to the family room, and I sit down. And I wrestled and nosed off, wrestled. It's around 6:30, I start walking. That's the best thing ever happened to me. All my inspiration. And I said, well, boy, you think I'm late for work. She said, what time is it? 6:25. Ooh, I got to get out of here. Once you set a time with God and start enjoying it, you need not worry about it. It becomes what we call automatic. It's almost like I'm being late for work. I got to get there. Take my walk out there with God. I get great inspiration. Insight. Then I have to go back inside and write it down. This is what I'm saying. They must give an account. Let them do so with. And I'm a little ahead of myself now. He says here, they must give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief. Let them shepherd you with joy. Every member should go to their pastor and say, is it a joy to shepherd me? Amen. Pastor, are you glad that I'm a member here? Do I make you happy? Let them, I'm only telling you, let them do so with joy. Not with what? Grief. That's the internalization of it. They shouldn't internalize grief. Leaders should not be able to stand up and hold back grief and heartbroken to preach to you. They shouldn't have to do it. God says they ought to do it with what? Don't go against the truth. Let them do so with joy, not with grief. Now, here's the part that I want you to get. That will be unprofitable for you. Now, watch scripture. Listen to the scripture. I'm going to translate that for you. No one gets anywhere. That's where you put that in English. If the man or the woman or the leader who we supposed to be helping, who we supposed to be, if we internalize grief, no one gets anywhere. You know what happened when Moses, brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam talked about him? It shut the camp down. Nobody got nowhere. God had to come down and have a business meeting. Listen, I'm going to show you how God sees things. He asked them this question. Were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? They thought it was his brother, their brother. They thought it was their brother. You know why they thought it was their brother? They were sinning the natural. To God, he was a type. See, we have to learn this. When our heart go up to God, we'll see things the way God sees it. To you, it's Pastor Yates, it's Prophet Jay. Hey, Pastor, who are they to God? So the way I treat them and follow them shows my respect for the one who set them in office. And God says, if you grieve the leader, the camp stops. Some churches wonder why they're not growing. They want to know why certain things not happening. Look at how you treat the leader. God has already said it's not going nowhere. The man can't have a good family life. Worried about the church. People, the people, those are God's people. I learned a long time ago. I learned this one day. You can only do so much for people. And when you've done all you can do, you keep your focus on God. The scribes and the Pharisees, they just saw all kind of evil, all kind of wrong. And Jesus said, listen, let's calm our nerves a bit. They're sheep without a shepherd is what they are. They're not derelicts, a bunch of nobodies. They're sheep without a shepherd. And when we get real shepherds, we're going to see real sheep. We'll see Rishi. So what is Paul saying? Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit. They chase sleep for your soul because they got to answer to God for that. And let them shepherd you with joy, not with grief. If that's the case, church don't get anywhere. For 1 week, the camp had to shut down. And God said, put outside the camp. Leprosy was on her for a whole week. And when God got through dealing with that, he said, okay, and let the camp move. I guess they learned that lesson then. But see, here's the other part about it. You have to look at the repercussions it have down the road. Aaron didn't make it in. God told Moses, take the ephod off of him, put it on Eleazar, his son. I can't let that mindset go in there. The Bible just tells us Miriam died. Kadesh, she just died. And everybody who didn't make it because of their unbelief. And when you start reading the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 4, he said, listen, what's the first thing Moses started? I said, listen, listen. He was a part of that. He understood that. And he pleaded with God, let me go, let me go. God said, don't bring that matter to me again. I've made a decision. I don't ever want God's final decision about me is what you not going to do now. I want my ministry and my life to go on and on and on. That's what you ought to want. And God has given us some instructions here. There are many things I could have stood here and talked about, but this is what I wanted to bring to you today. God is longing for a heart like his. He's packed. That's what he wants. So forget everything else, because God said, I don't see that. I'm looking at your heart. I'm looking at your heart. I'm looking at your heart towards me, your heart towards people, your heart towards your leader. And if you're a leader, then here's what God is saying. You got to stay close to me. These warnings are to all of us. I'm going to read them to you over again. And Pastor, I believe my assignment is over that you've given me, and I pray that you've understood the little bit I've said about leadership, and it's right from the Bible. Do not neglect. Are you with me here? Listen. It's what he's saying. Listen. Don't neglect to hear. Listen. Keep your ears open to obey. The second one is encourage one another. encourage. The third one is press on to maturity. Grow up. Keep growing. Fourth one is what? Do not go against truth. And the sixth is do not refuse him who speaks from heaven. And the words that I gave to you today was not from man. They were from God. May God bless you in your ministry and may each one of you prosper as you follow and do the things that God wants you to do. Amen.